Hallelujah. Trust we are ready for tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Special thanks to Setman. Thanks to Pastor Muyoa. We do not take this for granted. We are blessed to have fathers who will teach us and lead us and show us the path to walk. May the Lord continue to strengthen you and strengthen the church. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word as it comes forth. Thank you because we stay yielded. Our hearts are open. And Lord, tonight we mark the beginning of something new in our lives. We give you praise because your word will produce results and we will indeed testify in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, briefly, we'll just look at the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 as our anchor scriptures, as our anchor scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Tonight we'll be looking at supernatural encounters. Supernatural encounters. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. I'll be reading from the ERV. Okay, let me read it from the New King James, sorry. From the New King James, it says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Hallelujah. Tonight, like I said, we're looking at supernatural encounters. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've had some supernatural encounter in my life. And I know there's one that is very, very common. We don't take it to be very significant because it's just you. You feel because it's just me now. It's my experience. And that's part of the reason why some people don't share testimony and it's very bad. Hallelujah. The fact that you were transformed from darkness to light, the mere fact that you gave your life to Christ, it's an encounter. Hallelujah. It's an encounter. It's a supernatural encounter. Satma said something once when he was teaching in one of the midweek service we had very long ago. He said, God does so many things for people, but people don't take cognizance of these things. Or maybe they just feel like you need biro, you need a pen, as common as that. You need a pen. And then someone is able to bless you with a pen. God has seen that that is a need in your life and he provides it. You feel, after all, it's just biro now. They will testify for biro again. It's just biro. It's just a pen now. It's an encounter. Hallelujah. That he could even go ahead of you and make provision for your need. It's an encounter. Have you entered a vehicle once and then you are really stranded? You know you don't have money. You don't have the kind of money you really need. And then someone just offered to pay. You know, not be put out for the pocket. Not be you tell them to pay. And then somebody just say, no, don't worry. I got this. I'll take care of it. And in your mind, you're thinking, and you just feel like, and so it beats me when people don't share things because I came across someone very recently, and I don't know, as we were talking, I just shared something. People say, I've experienced that thing too. That, and she was saying, is it a testimony? Is it a? I said, no, it's a bad news. I was like, no, I don't mean that. Say, hey, if it's not the bad news, then it's a testimony. Praise the Lord. Because oftentimes I've offered to pay people's fare. So one day my wife was traveling and she lost her purse. And then someone, a stranger that she didn't know, imagine in Enugu, just offered to pay a transport from Enugu or so to either from Enugu to Kogi or from Kogi to Enugu. And you know, can you imagine what that is? And then she was joyful, and then she was telling me later, and Okay, it's good. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, when we share things in form of testimony, you are sharpening someone. Because someone might be going through phase that needs to hear that. Hallelujah. So in Supernatural Encounter tonight, we'll be looking at some things that happened to some people. Their own supernatural encounter. We'll be looking at some of that. Some supernatural encounter. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. Hallelujah. It says, then he brought him out. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Hallelujah. This is an encounter that happened between God and Abraham. Hallelujah. God and Abraham. To buttress the story very well, at the time God made a promise to him, his name had not even changed. It was just Abraham. He was not Abraham yet. But guess what? A time came when there's this encounter where his wife, Sarah, said, okay, since child is not forthcoming, this promise of God, since there's a delay in this promise of God. And oftentimes that's what people are tempted to do. Sometimes we are tempted to help God. We are tempted to help God. Someone was caught in an exam hall, and he was a campus fellowship leader. And so he was caught doing my practice. And he couldn't explain himself. He said, he just must not fail this exam. But you don't have to help God. You don't have to. I've seen people steal because they just want to prove that God has blessed them. You can't help God. You don't have to. He said, my hands are not too short that he cannot reach out to you. He said, my ears are not deaf that he cannot hear. What I say, I will do. Just like the portion Mrs. Sajiri read when she was praying, when she was leading prayer, God said, I will watch my word to perform it, to perform it, to carry it out. He said, not an iota of my word will fall to the ground without performing the purpose for which it is sent. So if he said a thing, he will do it. He doesn't need your help. So people sometimes want to cut corners and do things just to show that, God has blessed us big. When you ask them, they say, now Baba God, they run them. You don't need to help him. If he would do it, he would do it. And because he said it, he would do it. And that's part of the reason why we don't put if when we're there. Like people, I was correcting someone. Like some people, when they want to pray, they say, Lord, if it's your will, it's a prayer of doubt. Because he has shown you already that it's his will that you be blessed. Is it the will of the devil that you are blessed? The devil does not want you blessed. It's the devil that doesn't want us blessed. God wants us blessed at all times. So if you catch yourself praying, God, as if you are sorry for God, say, God, I know so you don't answer so many people. Now that it has reached my turn, your answers feed on the finish. If you see remain, if any answer still remain for inside of your pocket, just manage, tram for me. If you catch yourself praying that prayer of if, you are praying in doubt. Because he watches his word to perform it at all times. Amen. Supernatural encounter. See, let's just flip to chapter 17 of the same Genesis. Chapter 17. Verse, let's look at 15. From verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. By this time, that alternative, that help Sarah was trying to help, had happened. And I learned something from that. Each time you try to help God, each time you try to cut corners because you want to prove that you're trying to help God, it's because of men you do that, because you say, what will people say? Hey, they will say, like, something happened. There's this woman who was who wants a child so badly. She's the wife of a top leader somewhere, political leader somewhere. And then she went to this prayer prayer group. There's a group where they pray, you know, these places where they pray. So after prayer, she said what she wanted. She wanted a child. She had longed for a child. And guess what happened? They were praying and trusting God for a child and all that and all that. God will do his thing when he will do his thing. Like I said, you don't need to cut corners just because you want to help God. Some people feel like, hey, it will be a thing of shame if this thing does not happen. Shame from where? From who? How? He is God. Where we read our anchor scripture says, where the word of a king is, there is power. I say, and no one can rate, judge, or size him. He has absolute authority. So in her bid to help God, she went and made arrangement, and she made arrangement and bought a child and pretended like she was pregnant. Her husband didn't know. Did all the gimmicks and all that. So, after a while, the child was falling sick from time to time. I saw it live. I witnessed it. The child was falling sick from time to time. Guess what happened? So, they had to do a test because it called for concern, because they were at the hospital at the time. It was very, very crucial. One of those nights, we were in the house and we saw this. They gathered and they lost the child. They were going to lose this child. And then I was asking, what's happening? What's happening? They didn't tell me initially because they were just running up and down, group, 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 everywhere and all that. And later, I found out that upon getting to the hospital, they had to do tests and all that, check blood, who we donate, blah, blah, blah. And after all the tests carried out, they found out that the child is not their child. And now it brought disgrace. So here's the point I'm trying to make. Each time you try to cut corners to help God because you think, so that he will take the glory, like the man who went to steal because he brought money to like a Thanksgiving and then he wanted to cover that up. He stole that money from his place of work. He was arrested. It was on national TV. Now it was a disgrace to him and even where he worshiped. Can you imagine that? Disgraceful. Each time you try to cut corners just because you want to bring praise or because you think you want to help God, it ends in disgrace. It ends in disgrace. It ends in shame. Because God will honor his name. He has power enough to do his thing. Hallelujah. So Sarah tried to help and brought her maid to the husband. Oga, manage this one. So that this one can do for you what, in fact, the word she used when I was reading, I laughed. He says, since this child, this promise is not coming, just. And what did the Bible say? The Bible says that, and the maid mocked her. Mocked her so that it was giving her pain, began to give her pain. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. That was why God said to Abraham, he said, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Not the alternative you're trying to provide. Not the gimmicks you are playing you are pranking just so you could show that I have answered. I will really indeed answer and you will see it. I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of peoples.
shall be from her. Amen. Imagine the kind of huge blessing God is bringing through Sarah that she was trying to negotiate and give to Hagar. And give to Hagar a maid. So each time you try to help God by cutting corners to bring glory, you are actually settling for an alternative. But God had to remind us, say, not by another, but by you. From your loins shall come a nation. From your loins shall come nations, kings of nations, kings of people and of nations. Hallelujah. We'll see another one now. Okay. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? These are some of the reasons why people tend to settle for less, settle for alternative. Why? Because they're like, but I'm too old. I remember when I was already engaged. We're making preparations for marriage. And one lady came and invited me. She's a minister. She invited me and she said, I want to see you. And I said, okay, so I want to see her. And then she said, that's why you need to know God for yourself. She said to me, said, God said, you are my husband. And I looked her in the face. First, I laughed. And I looked her in the face and I said, I was just shaking my head. I said, ah. So she was trying to regain me. Like, ah, you don't believe. And they tell you, and funny enough, she said, she's a soldier, so you can imagine she's in the army. So you can imagine the B-24 beat me tired for marriage. Eh? Only God knows. Hallelujah. Well, you know you have God well. Now that kind of beating you will take. So when she said it, I laughed. When you know God and know God well for real, you'll be able to know. You'll be able to design. You'll be able to know. No matter how palatable it looks. If he like, sugarcoat it with all the money that Dangote and Kubana have. It's not enough to stop you from designing. You may not have all the ephesia and all the panache and all that, but you will know by your spirit, you will know. In your inner man, you will know. You may not have all the giskis, you will know. Because when he will speak to you, it will not be noisy. It will not be noisy. So when she said it, I laughed. And then she said, why are you laughing? I said, he will speak to me too. He will speak to me. But I knew from that moment, immediately I know, I discerned in my heart that this, I heard it in my spirit, that this is desperation. There's a way desperation speaks. Hallelujah. Desperation has a voice. It speaks. So she said it because she longed to have a man because she had reached the age of menopause. Because the world says so, because medical whatever says so, does not mean you should get frightened and get worried. What does the word of God say? That's the most important thing to us. Hallelujah. We are people of the word. We are people of the word. I've seen people that medical sciences have said a lot. That this, even Kennedy again has been certified. Go and die. Left to the bed to die. Because he had many ailments and all that. And they said, the doctor said, no one with this kind of condition can survive this age. But on that bed, as it was just there, time was counting, and Kennedy again encountered the word of God in Mark 11:23, and that simple scripture changed everything about his life. And he said that word came alive to him in that his dying bed, that if you sit says, I am in this. Amongst the people, God is giving this command. And he stood on that. He got his healing. Kya, kya. Like that. God's word works. Tell the next person to you, God's word works. God's word works. If he says it, I believe it. And I'll get my answers. Hallelujah. So, imagine Abraham laughed in his heart. Why did he laugh? Because to him, no man at this age is a performer again. Now, you won't go play football at retirement age. Who has retired from football that we know? Mikel. No, Mikel is young. Mikel can still play ball. Ronaldinho has retired since. Okocha has retired since. So you can imagine JJ Okocha going back to the field now that he wants to play World Cup. He should just keep a casket by the side. His son is even good. There are people who have retired, like, I know Pele is dead, but there are people who are old, as in, imagine, I'm talking of the case of Abraham now. Because by practice, we are so used to the physical, like, okay, people say, I'll give you an example. Right where our farm is, all you hear is people just saying, even the things that have not been practically carried out, they say, that is how it is. That is how, if you go now, they've cut their light for like a week plus. If you go now and ask them, what happened? They say, Nepa carried the light go. If you ask what happened, I mean, it's the same story that is passed from one person to the other. Nobody has really gone to verify. So guess what happened? Everybody there believes that you cannot get water. You cannot get a proper, you cannot dig a proper borehole and get water. Why? Because a few people have tried and the borehole collapsed. You know, because there's mud in the ground. The borehole collapsed. A lot of people have tried and the borehole collapsed. Has anybody ever done a soil test? No. Has anybody tried to verify or find out why this is happening? No. So everybody say, no, even if they see you bring machines and bring people, they say, don't even bother, it will collapse. And really, you go and do, it will collapse because you're doing surface borehole drilling. So it will collapse. But guess what? Just this week. So that's why it's good when you are in a place where you hear God's word live. It's those same words. Pastor, when you are, we always say, assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. Okay? So it doesn't only stop there. It deforms you because you are working with assumption. You're working with falsehood because you are not sure. There's nothing concrete there. So when you're around people who say things that you can work, so we say, okay, let's not just go with the tide, with the what everybody say. Let's have something concrete for ourselves. And so we decided to do a test. The result came 2 nights ago. And it was shocking. It was very, very shocking. In fact, when I stood there and I was seeing them, and they were doing all the tests, bring machine and doing it, I was like, hey, after all these many things, if this result is still the same, I've just wasted money. But guess what? I didn't waste money. From the test result, it's the people who have never done anything right. I can't bring a plant. They say when you plant corn, it will grow, right? If you bring a corn seed and you plant it on this granite that is here, will it grow? It won't grow because it's not in the soil, right? You bring the same seed and you put it on top of this table, you expect it to grow. It will not grow. So you've not done what you need to do, and you conclude and spread the news that it's impossible for light to shine in this place. It's wrong. It's mere assumption. And the result is fantastic. In fact, with the result, I'm motivated to set up a water plant and build a bottling company. Hallelujah. God helping me, I'll do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Grace waters. Hallelujah. Supply water. Hallelujah. Amen. No, but that's it. So Abraham said, I'm way old, too old. For who? For God? For miracles? No. The doctor said, people are very proud. Say, I'm a very humble. Watch people who tell you they are humble. Watch them. They are displaying their pride in them. Pastor Boyuwa talked about pride last week. So when people say, I'm from a very humble home, we are humble. You are not humble. You won't be bragging about it if you are humble. People who are humble don't brag about it. Say, now family, watch it. So that's what Abraham was doing. Some people, their families, that people believe, some people believe that they don't grow past certain age. That your father died that way does not mean you will die that way. Hallelujah. I said it several times. Even in my house, I say to them, some people will see my father's children and they will say, and they will hail you and call you all of you because he was a chief. So they will call his children all titles and blah, blah. There's one of the title there that the title, what it means is that man of many wives. They are hailing him, man of many wives. The man died having many wives. And they, all the children, they are happy. They are, you know, that kind of thing. When you call me that, I cancel that one. I'm a man of one wife. Hallelujah. Because the man himself, even before he died, told me, he said, one of the things he regrets is that he had many wives. And somebody is, Jennifer would say, prouding. Somebody is prouding. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see another one. 18 says, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. Amen. And that's the reason why we are here today. We are descendants from that lineage. Hallelujah. We are blessed. We won't settle for an alternative. We will only settle for God's best. I always try to tell people, good is not enough when best is obtainable. I won't settle for less. I will go for the best. Hallelujah. We are quick to always think Abraham's blessings are mine. Let's stick to what God's word says, and we will get the best all the time. Hallelujah. First Samuel. Let's see another encounter. First Samuel chapter 8. First Samuel 1. Verse 2. So it's talking about 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2. It's talking about Elkanah, who had two wives. So, and he had two wives, verse 2. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Hannah's rival also provoked her severely, to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Praise the Lord. I've also seen from the scriptures that whenever you are mocked, laughed at, or disgraced, or whatever, looked down on, or whatever, call it anything, because of something you lack, the person is not mocking you. The person is mocking your God. And if you know where to channel that energy to, you will get the answers that you need. He said, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it's God's plan. It's God's design. So because Peninnah had children, sons and daughters, name one. Who knows any name, the name of any child of Penina? Who knows? It's not important. Is it relevant? No. What's the name of Hannah's son? Samuel. Prophet Samuel. One can be bigger than 1,000 if God is in it. So when they mock you, don't even bother. That, you did this office, now you did work, now you did it diligent, now you did it, don't bother. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. Bury your head down, just keep doing what you're doing. We heard Pastor Moyo sharing on Sunday about how he was so diligent in his work and everything, but see years later, how that work announced and paved way for greater opportunities to come. He didn't see that end before he was doing what he was doing. Praise God. So each time people mock you, laugh at you, say all manner of things just to scorn and run you down, don't bother. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Turn your face and face your God. Face your God. Just worship Him. Even in that pain. In this pain, yes. Tell me, Lord, it's to you. It's to you. My service is to you. Because the scripture actually tells us that. It said, do all you do as unto the Lord. So the service that you render, do it like you're doing it unto the Lord. We've heard stories, testimony stories of how even fellowship on campus, how people will carry, we used to do it, carry instruments, we'll carry from year to year, after fellowship we return, and all that, and all that, and all that, and all that. As you do that one, there are people who are just somewhere smoking something and feel like they are enjoying life. They still carry past their ass off ahead. They say that they follow God. Watch their life. And watch those people who were carrying those things that we're laughing at. Hallelujah. No man takes the things of God seriously and their life remain the same. God will always prove Himself through those vessels. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read on. So, let's go down to, okay, I like this part. In verse 8, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? There are times in life where, you know, there's this word people used to say that he who wears the shoe knows where it knows where it pinches. If my shoe is very tight right now, it's not Pastor Me what I can tell. It's me that's wearing it that can tell that this one. I've seen some people say their right leg is bigger than the left leg. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when the husband was saying it because Hannah, you can imagine when she see her mates with children come to give thanksgiving, even though she has a double portion, and the man is trying to sweet talk her and tell her, why are you bothering yourself? After all, I give you everything you want. Am I not enough? I can be a son, a daughter, a husband, a father, everything to you. Am I not enough? There is a burning desire. There's what the heart wants. There's a longing. Sometimes we should have this hunger, not sometimes, we should have this hunger that only God can satisfy. Hallelujah. So Hannah arose, 9, after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Hallelujah. I learned something also from Hannah. And what's that? when you get to that point where, yeah, strongly you desire to have something from God, and you are in that moment where you are waiting, you can switch. Instead of being in anger, instead of being in anxiety, you can begin to thank Him. You can begin to thank Him. Give Him thanks for the things you know He's going to do. Give Him thanks ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what that is? It's exercising confidence in the fact that His word says He will do. Hallelujah. When you have asked Him, from then on, don't bother about it again. Just begin to give thanks each time it crosses your heart. Where do you know? Lord, I thank you. I thank you. If you see people, they worry. If you see where people, they worry. Not only me remain ever. Who told you that it's only you that is remaining? Not only me remain ever. Okay, now ask her, say, which kind of man you want to say? Any man, when I say anyone, No, may you not be desperate. Like the soldier woman who told me that the Lord said, you are my husband. I know. The Lord has prepared for me. I know who you show me. When they bounce me for us later, not fit talk. I said that the Lord then show me. Then he say, so God, God go tell me. Go show me. It's not an altar of confusion. Hallelujah. So switch. Give him praise. You can sow seed. You can do whatever you can. But let it be in line with His word. Trust in Him that He will perfect that which He has said. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 2:1. Let's also see that. 1 Samuel 2. Verse 1. He said, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. That song came from there. Hallelujah. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Hallelujah. Do you know what she was actually doing? Let me show you. I grew up in a place where, in a polygamous family, so I know this one very well. They do it a lot. So one mate, you can imagine where a father has, let's say, between 7 to 13 wives. Now you have, they have children. So the one when don't born. If the one who never born ask the other one, say, I beg, this pikin, come and help me. But I beg, leave my pikin. My pikin is precious. What are you doing? You're scorning. You're mocking the other one who doesn't have. Not touch one. I beg. Not send her like that. Not beat him like that. Now leave me. No. You are mocking the, because she not get. So now God has answered Hannah. Hannah is now rejoicing. Even in her, I'm sure she was shouting at the top of her voice. She's giving God glory, but at the top of her voice, she's giving, it's a response. So because I'm just trying to imagine that Peninnah must have built confidence in the fact that I get children. No matter what, when he count the count, and say, okay, 11 and a half. Out of all these 11 and a half children, at least no one. One must stay US. One must stay UK. One must stay here. Anna has only one, but that one, mighty, strongly used by God. Hallelujah. The truth is, this is supposed to be our life. We don't gainsay. We know for sure. So we don't do, what do you call it? We don't do tumbu. We know how His word. He guides us, He directs us, He leads us, His word. So instead of anyone, one go walk, one go, we know. It may be only one child, but we know. It may be just an option, we know. Has any opening come yet? Say, there's only one company. We know. Go there with confidence. Someone was saying, talking to me and saying, I need a job. I said, paint it. Tell God what you want. So if you're here and you're even looking for your husband, tell him what you want. Tell him. God is, you think God doesn't know what you want? He knows, but tell him. He just wants to know. Snappy, you had desires now before. Abby, you had desires. Tell him. Lord, I need a handsome guy. I remember when I was going to go to Bible school, Mrs. Ajiri said, we are going to that school together. Hallelujah. So tell him what you want. Fine guy. Good pockets. Tell him. No, go say anyone, anyone, anyone. When you choose anyone, you get anyone, and you will not be complaining to God again. You are the one. Because if you just say anyone, you get amusement park. That's what you will carry. Even if you want six pack, two pack, tell him. You will get it. The Bible says that he will grant the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. I think it was Seth Man also who shared about Smith Wigglesworth, how he rose, how he raised people who were dead, certified dead. Certified dead. It was also shared about, I can't remember his name now, in South Africa, that went for missionary work and there was an outbreak and he took the fluid and it was placed on his hand and people practically saw it die. It doesn't matter what that disease is. It doesn't matter what it is. If you know and you stand on God's word, your case will be different. Amen. Amen. We are a chosen generation. We're a special breed, a unique kind of people. None in this place is permitted to be sick. None is permitted to die. None is permitted to fail. Hallelujah. And we cannot be disadvantaged. So if you cannot just pick your phone and say, hey, you are crying, say, Pastor just want to say, this one, you know, they hear word of God, or you know, all the church where they come, so you just come to say, I trust Pastor Muyiwana. You receive spiritual koboko. Yes, because we know what we know. We know what we hear, and we run by what we are guided by this word. Hallelujah. So we stand on the word of God. Amen. Amen. So lastly, let's just look at Hebrews chapter 11 as we get ready to close. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 14. Hallelujah. When we get home, we can read the whole of Hebrews 11, but I just want to touch on a few points. Hebrews 11, 24. 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Hallelujah. 29. He said, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Hallelujah. 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Hallelujah. He says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, walked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Amen. He said, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And then go to the last two verses. The last two verses, 39 and 40. Let's just read us. Let's stand up on our feet as I read this part. 39 and 40. He said, and all this, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. That means after all these things God did, all these mighty things God did through these people of old, we were in the picture. So it's not perfect yet. It's not concluded because we were coming. Hallelujah. We were in that plan. We were in that plan. Because we have not played in the match was not going to end in any way. So we were part of the plan of God. Remember what the Bible says, that he had proposed this from time, from the beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth. He had proposed this. So he knew we were in his plan. Hence, he sent his son. So for it to be completed, this movie can never be complete. The script cannot be complete without us. Hallelujah. Can you see how special you are? Can you see how precious you are? Can you see how wonderful he made you? Can you see the lovely promises he had in store? Beautiful plans he had in store. Beautiful plans he had in store. Hallelujah. I cannot settle for less. I cannot settle for anything anyhow. Ah, something special is kept for me. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you because I am in your thoughts. Thank you because I am in your plans. Thank you because you had me in mind. Thank you because you have proposed that I will be a partaker. Hey, la marque, ekele gebosonea, ele brende sute anamande yade sharada. You have proposed, you made a plan, a pathway for me to come in. Ele mange hana yada bosonde anamande gede dede ya. You are predestinated. We were predestined for this. We were predestined for this. Halamande kedosta. Ile brege do somte yana mande yedesta da. Lige bogo do mondo ria da bara da desha. Ele mondo brodo somte yamande de de yakada da dosha. Ele mande yade shede yana ma. You had us in mind. There was a plan for us. There was a place for us. There was a role kept for us. And this was not going to be called perfect until we came. In your plan for me, there is no sickness. In your plan for me, no failure. In your plan for me, no disappointment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here and you're trusting God for something, you can take the bold step to come forward. Pastor Muyiwa will pray with you. If you're here and you're trusting God, you are really trusting, this is bothering you and you are trusting God for something, you really need this desire met, make bold to come forward as Pastor Muyiwa.